Game. John is about to touch on a few things. And again, I'll say this is why I like going through a certain book of the Bible, because you kind of fudge these difficult truths. And you're really as leader, you want to, it says to give people the full counsel of God. And we'd usually mess out the topic of the Antichrist and things like that. But it says that people die through lack of knowledge, and we need to beware about the times that we live in, and if it's got to come against the church, and be wise and need to be foolish about such things. We've got to understand the background of what John was facing. During the early church, there was great revival, but there was also great persecution for the world. But there was also people that came into the church that believed mostly the same things, but didn't believe that Jesus was the Messiah, didn't believe that Jesus was the Son of God. They believed he was a person, and some of the Gnostics, they believed that he was maybe just a spirit, but he wasn't the Messiah. And they attached themselves to the church, and it was like wolves in sheep's clothing. They looked the same. They spoke about helping the poor, but they didn't declare that Jesus was the Messiah. So we've got to understand that John is facing me. So the early church went through some really hardships, really things to navigate, but John came for a perspective, heart of our Father, let's speak about us and let's deal with it. And 2,000 years later, the church is still going through stuff, isn't it? There are some things that come against the church, so I'm teaching for the church that goes wayward. We get opposition for the world that we dealt with in the last sermon. And it's amazing when you read the Bible, even though it's 2,000 years ago in a different nation, a different culture, a different setting, a different time of day. Since then, there's been airplanes, iPhones invented. It's been a growth of knowledge, but yet we still deal with the same things. Isn't that amazing? That the Bible's still relevant, even though so much has changed in 2,000 years. But yet we can sit down and John can speak to us through the Holy Spirit, through the Word of God, and you think, wow. Nothing's changed, but nothing's changed. Humanity still faces the same issues, still the same temptations, but nothing's changed, but the truth of where we are and our need for a Savior has never changed. Okay, so I'll read it. 1 John, reading from verse 18 in chapter 2. I'll maybe just read it through and then we'll go back and go through bit by bit. Dear children, this is the heart of Father. Dear children, the last hour is here. You've heard that the Antichrist is coming, and already many such Antichrists have appeared. From this we know that the last hour has come. These people, they left our churches, but they never really belonged with us. Otherwise, they would have stayed with us. When they left, it proved that they did not belong with us. Seems like a bit of a riddle. But you are not like that, for the Holy One has given you his Spirit and anointing, and all of you know the truth. I'm writing to you not because you don't know the truth, but because you know the difference between truth and lies. Who is a liar? Anyone who says that Jesus is not the Christ, anyone who denies the Father and the Son is a type of an Antichrist. Anyone who denies the Son doesn't have the Father either, but anyone who acknowledges the Son has a Father also. Again, seems like a bit of a riddle. So you must remain faithful to what you have been taught from the beginning. If you do, you'll remain in fellowship with the Son and the Father. The whole theme of John seems to be remaining in fellowship with the Father, with the Son, and with the church. And in this fellowship, we enjoy the eternal life he promised us. I'm writing these things to warn you about those who want to lead you astray. You have received the Holy Spirit. He lives within you. You don't need anyone to teach you what is true, for the Spirit teaches you everything you need to know. What he teaches is true. It is not a lie. Just as he has taught you, remain in fellowship with Christ. And now, dear children, remain in fellowship with Christ. It's that word again, fellowship with Christ. So when he returns, you will be full of courage and not shrink back from him in shame. And since we know that Christ is righteous, we also know that all who do what is right are God's children. So there's a few complicated maybe things going on there. So let's go back to verse 18. It's hard to digest all that just sitting and reading it once. Dear children, the last hour is here. Let's just calm down just for a moment. You might say, well, if it was the last hour for John, it was 2,000 years ago, timeline, you think logically we are brain, well, Jesus hasn't come back yet, so his fit, he says, out of sync. No. In Jesus' calendar, there's just hours, there's days, there's moments, and we have to live this life with an expectation, whether it was now or 2,000 years ago, that we was born into the world, that we are living in the end game, that the last hour is here. That John may be interpreted that Jesus says that the time is coming, you will know the time, because there'll be false prophets, false Christ, that will say, here I am the Christ. Dinna follow them, there'll be wars, rumors of wars. You will ken that this is the last days by these things. And as John was in church, he realized there's antichrist, there's false prophets, we are living in the last hour. In God's calendar, there's just days and there's hours. We had the hour, the day of creation, when God made our thing through the power of his word, and he created humanity. We would say we had the day or the season or the hour of the Jewish nation, nay, that they have been replaced, but God was for them and seeking to show his power to the world through the Jewish nation. And then there was a day yet to come, and that day that was prophesied through the prophets. And you look back and wonder, and you read Isaiah, and you see, wow, the details that was prophesied about the coming Messiah and fate would go through the crucifixion. It's all written down for us prophetically in the Old Testament, but there was a day that they was longing for, and it was that this Messiah would come and rescue his people. We ken that day was the day of Jesus. And the crucifixion was another day. And the resurrection was the same. Another day in God's calendar. But you came in resurrection morning. We'll read in Matthew. It says that this was the dawning of a new day. And this is that day. The Bible calls it the day of the Gentiles. That we as non-Jews can get saved. This is the day of salvation. A moment in history. After the crucifixion, the resurrection, but before the coming King of Jesus, we are in this hour. We are in this day. The last hour, John says, is here. And we live in it. You ken that God saves his best for last. That the Jesus' first miracle, water into wine. Usually, during a wedding, they would get the best expensive wine out, and they would drink the good stuff, and then folks start to get a bit tipsy or a bit yonkine, and the taste buds had been given a good hammer, and they'd dig out the cheap stuff. And when they were drinking the cheap stuff, they didn't realize, hold on, this wasn't as good as the stuff we were drinking before. And so the wine ran out at a wedding, and then this was Jesus' first miracle. You ken the story, took a water after the wine had been drunk, and he took it to the master of the ceremonies, and he tested the wine. And fitted, they say, you have kept the best wine till the last hour. And we need to realize in the age of the church, we've got, this is the best hour to be alive. The Jewish nation under the law of Moses was restricted to work towards God. Since there was a Messiah coming, but didn't hear the full revelation of the cross, it didn't hear the indwelling power of the Holy Spirit. In the age of the church, it's the best wine to last before Jesus comes back. And we take it for granted. But we can look at the power of the cross. We've got the biblical record. We can see what it means. We can speak about it, how he tore down a veil. We can live in a right relationship with Jesus Christ, that all my sin and all my shame was put on him, and his righteousness was imparted and imputed unto me, so that the Father looks at me and sees me as spotless and blameless because my sin went unto him, and I get to live beyond the veil, and I can speak to a holy God. This is the last hour. And we get to preach the word of God and declare Jesus in a time of trial, in a time of humanity is crying out for hope and answers, and everything seems to be in confusion. The church of Jesus Christ needs to stand up and realize we're in the last hour, but this is an amazing hour to be alive. Because Jesus Christ is still the hope of all nations. And we get to be in fellowship with each other and get to do mission, and we can expect to see miracles, but we can expect that the Holy Spirit would guide us every step of the way. And we sometimes take it off for granted and think, I wish I was like Moses that spoke to him face to face. You can speak to Heavenly Father face to face. I wish I was like Joseph or David. But Jesus has kept the best for last, the church age. We've got a better covenant. That last covenant under the law says was fading away in glory, but the new covenant is declared with ever increasing glory. We should be excited to live in this age, not looking at how dark the day is, but how looking at bright Jesus Christ is in our lives. But the last hour is here, and if it was the last hour for John 2,000 years ago, we're maybe just in the last few minutes. Because it's closer to day than it was then, that's for certain, sure. But we are living, and I think our forefathers did a better job in us in Christianity. They lived with an eager expectation of Christ's return at any moment, and they wasn't to be found in sin or in sinful places, because they lived with this fear that Christ might come, and if he comes and I'm caught up in sin, then I don't want to see him face to face and I'm caught up in that. But does the church still believe that we are living in the last days? The last hour is here, and he could come back at any time. Children, he's a father in the faith. He's not saying that's to disappoint or to confuse. He says, the last hour is here. The world is ready. It's grown, and it's ready for the return of coming King Jesus Christ. Let's go into the dark stuff. You have heard that the Antichrist is coming. Dun, 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 dun. Dun, 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 dun. We've seen the movies. You have heard that the Antichrist is coming. I've tried to study us. I typed in Google, who is Antichrist? And it is funny, the interpretations you get. It was maybe Bin Laden and maybe Saddam Hussein. Abdi's been wrong so far. There was a photo of Obama with horns. He could have been at. Some people think Donald Trump. I reckon. The point of this, isn't it, to get Antichrist focused. And I didn't think the Antichrist will look like we think he's going to look. We think he'll have horns sticking out his hair. If he takes off his baseball cap, he's got his 666 tattoos. He's got to be vile. He's got to be smelly. He's got to be spouting every blaspheme he can. He's got to be wicked. He's got to be immoral. He's got to be dark with dark eyeshadow and dark mascara. And he has got to be ruthless. And he's got to declare war. That's a picture of the Antichrist that I didn't really see in the Bible. Antichrist in the original Greek could mean one of two things. It could mean coming against, we're against Christ. But also Antichrist could mean, I think this is what's implied, as you read what John then goes on about, is a replacement Christ. And Jesus spoke about many will say, I am he, I am he, I am he. Then I follow that because I'm going to come in the clouds. I think the Antichrist, I was reading through Revelations last week, it says that the person of the beast, many will follow him. And he can deceive even the elect. And there will be signs and wonders, and he will set himself up. Could be a person of peace. Fakens, that if somebody came right now into this world in political chaos and declared peace, people would follow him. And it says that this person has got to do miracles. But He will not point people to Jesus. He will point people to himself. He might. Some people here have maybe studied it more than me. It looks as though he'll try and set himself up in the temple of Jerusalem. And he will try and be a new Messiah, a new Savior of humanity. There will be a person, while they can they're the Antichrist, while they can they're full of the beast. I don't know, I'm not too sure. We can Jesus can't far he was, but maybe this person will just be full of the influence of darkness and people will follow him. He can do miracles and he can deceive even the elect. But I want to warn you against being an Antichrist chaser. You're not a Ghostbuster. And if you think you probably can far is, you're probably wrong. Because when we start speaking like this, we go to Google and we think, "Who far is it? Is it one of us? Do I ken them? Are they in this room? Am I married to them?" And I can feel thinking that would explain a lot, actually. That would actually explain a lot if it goes on. But this is not why John's writing. He's writing to warn us, look, there is an Antichrist that will come. Beware, church. Our Christ will not pop up in Jerusalem and say, "Follow me." He's going to come in the clouds of heaven with trumpets declaring. And we need to be just exposing this so that we please now become Antichrist focused and go on to Google and search, "Who is he?" Because they've been wrong for every... If I was living in the time of Hitler, I would have thought he would have been it, let's be fair. But yet Jesus didn't come back. Jesus got to come back for an Antichrist to reign on the earth. Okay. And then it says, "And already many such Antichrists have appeared. From this we know that the last hour has come." This is why I think he's nailing about somebody that's got to be in totally... in rebellion, and it's got to be noticeable, because it says there's people were in our churches, little, it seems really harsh, but little antichrists were in our churches. These people left our churches, but they never really belonged with us. This is not an excuse for anybody. It'd be awful easy for me as a pastor when somebody leaves our meeting to say, "Oh, you see, they were antichrist. They never really belonged with us. It was full of the devil." We have to be very careful with stuff like this. We need to understand why John wrote, for he wrote, people came in and there were wolves in sheep's clothing. They mixed with the people. They were good morals, but yet they wouldn't have preached Jesus as the Messiah. And people go to different fellowships. It doesn't mean they're Antichrist or a spirit of the Antichrist. This is not that he is saying, and it just proved that they left because they wasn't really belonging to us. He says, "But you are not like that," verse 20. So this is your responsibility. As you need to ken is you're not the Antichrist. Because it says, "But you're not like that." He says, this is the spirit of the Antichrist, but this is not you. So he's warning the church, but he's affirming the church, saying, "Look for you've got, look for you are. This is not you. For the Holy Spirit has given you his spirit, and all of you know the truth." I'll come on to the ministry of the Spirit in just a moment, but we need to ken if this is what's coming against the church, this is a problem, if it is the solution. And so John gives us just a few points, a solution. The solution isn't to become an Antichrist focus, but being aware that this is going to happen. We're in the last hour, but I want to ken how to live this life daily and be faithful to Jesus. And so go down to verse 24. This is the end times, the last hour, the end game solution. "You must remain faithful to what you have been taught from the beginning. If you do, you will remain faith in fellowship with the Son." Remain faithful to what you heard at the beginning. Isn't it interesting that John wrote the book of Revelation about what's going to happen, the end time book, the great prophetic word for the church? about the end of days. And yet he doesn't say, I'll read my book in Revelation and understand if it's about to happen. He says, remain faithful to the message you heard at the beginning. And I really understood that, and I really captured that, that is one of the secrets to remaining in fellowship with Jesus. Because what comes against the church is fads and is veering to the left, it's sometimes veering to the right. There's always a new thing happening, a new word somebody's got. And if we're not careful, we can go on our different tangents. And I've been saved since 2002. So at 17 years, there has been things come against the church that just wasn't utterly rebellious against the church and its morals and the way of life. There's things that sometimes sneak in and can just take your attention away for what you was taught at the beginning. So we're looking for God to do a new thing, but it's always in the context of what we heard when we got saved. So what did you hear when you got saved? You heard about the why of the cross, didn't you? That's only why you got saved. You didn't get saved by any other means, but the power of the cross, that the place of the cross was sufficient for your salvation for our eternity. And I was told at the beginning that that was enough. I was told that Jesus was enough. I was told that he was the answer for freedom and victory of our sin. And I was told to read my Bible, that I couldn't live a Christian life without reading the Word of God, that Christ was going to reveal himself through his Word. That this isn't a manual just to get in your head for knowledge, but this was a means that God was going to speak to me through. I heard that at the very beginning when I got saved. And I heard about the Holy Spirit. And I heard about fellowship. And I heard about going to church. But if we walk away from this precious truths, that Jesus is enough, the power of the cross, the resurrected Christ, that he is Messiah, he is Savior, he is coming King, you can. And you especially can, if you've been a Christian for a while, that under the guise of light and new knowledge and a new way of doing things, we can just veer off in the wrong direction. And I'm not a good sailor. But again, if you are sailing a boat, this is how not a good sailor I am. I almost called it driving a boat. If you're gone on your course, the 1 degree makes all the difference, doesn't it? That if you're off 1 degree, then the destination that you were going to go and supposed to go to, you're off in a completely different, you will not reach that destination. And John is reminding the church, even the Ian that penned Revelation, even the Ian that sat with Jesus, even the Ian that seen the Holy Spirit come in fire, even the Ian that was accused of being drunk and they were just full of the Holy Ghost. Even John, but give us the book of Revelations, would say, remain faithful to what you were taught right at the beginning. How do we not get inveigled with the Antichrist? Because it says that the devil comes nay full of darkness and revealing himself in darkness. He masquerades as an angel of light. An angel of light. She's got to look very godly. How do you protect yourself against being inveigled in that? Be faithful to what you heard at the start. Then I go chasing too much other stuff. Jesus is enough. He's our Savior. He is the Christ. He's the Messiah. He's the coming King. Read the Word of God. Be in fellowship. They're the only way, which says you must remain faithful to what you have been taught from the beginning. And if you do, you'll remain in fellowship with the Son and with the Father, and in this fellowship we enjoy. Does somebody like joy? I love joy. And in this fellowship we enjoy the eternal life he promised. It's in the fellowship that we enjoy eternal life. Not eternal life as in once I die, then eternal life starts. Eternal life is as in you can experience a degree of heaven and presence of Christ new that we get to enjoy eternal life now as we remain in fellowship with the Father. It goes back to the truth that Jesus spoke about, just stay in me, abide in me. I'm the vine, remain in me and I'll remain in you. And if you remain in me and I'll remain in you, then we will produce branches and fruit together. Your job is not to produce fruit. Your job is remain in me. Does somebody find it difficult just to remain? Like just to stay in him? I'm like a spiritual fidget. Oh, God, do something, God, do something, God, do something, God. It's difficult just to remain in Jesus. Ne run ahead of him. Ne lag behind him. Remain in him. And it says, if you remain in him, you will enjoy the eternal life he promised. I am writing these things, verse 26, to warn you about those who want to lead you astray. This is a warning for a father. Only a good dad will warn his barons. Come on. You have received the Holy Spirit, and he lives within you. I have no idea why some churches do believe in the ministry of the Holy Spirit. I have no idea. I don't care for Bible they're reading. I don't care for they get up to with their spare time. But John is saying that one or the wise we do not come into falsehood is remaining faithful to what was taught and then dwell in power of the Holy Spirit. If people do not believe that, you're selling yourself short and opening yourself up to weird stuff. I'm writing these things. You have received the Holy Spirit. You have. If you've been saved, the Holy Spirit, the Godhead, it's a total miracle that I think a lot of us take for granted that a part of the Godhead, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, is not just a ghost out there that's wanting to help you. It's an indwelling presence. Isn't that amazing? That God says, this is one of the reasons that you only get inveigled with the Antichrist and that you will ken better. Not because you're smarter, because you've got the best grades at school. It's because you have the Holy Spirit within you. God within you. And he will protect you. He lives within you, so you don't need anyone to teach you what is true, for the Spirit teaches you everything you need to know, and what he teaches is true. It is not a lie. Just as he has taught you, remain in fellowship with Christ. Let me just explain this just for a second. We're almost finished. The end time solution, remaining faithful to what we've knew from the beginning. The end times God person, the Holy Spirit. We started this by saying there's an Antichrist in the end times, but we are living in the day, the hour that the Holy Spirit lives within believers. We're a temple of the Holy Spirit. And then John says a few things that some people totally confuse. He says, you've got the Holy Spirit within you, therefore you don't need anybody to teach you. So some people say, well, I don't really need to go to church, and I don't need a fellowship, because I go to church to get taught, to get a sermon, to discuss things with other people, to build ourselves up in the faith. But John's saying, you don't need anybody to teach you, you just need the Holy Ghost. So see you later, church, I'll live in isolation. It's never his saying. Because Jesus advocated teaching. Jesus was a greatest teacher and preacher that ever lived. You read the letters of Apostle Paul. There's preachers, there's teachers, there's apostles. There's evangelists to build us up in the faith so we're effective for ministry. So he's not saying you don't need a teacher. Sometimes the teacher is the Holy Spirit through other people. Sometimes that's why he teaches us. But it's a greater truth that you have the indwelling power of the Holy Spirit with you always, that you can draw on for resources and guidance when there's no other human in the room. And that is, for it is to remain in fellowship, to abide in Christ. And he will guide you every step of the way. So here's the deal. You're sitting in the house alone. Something comes on the TV. Maybe there's something rebellious. It could be you just can't, that's rebellious. It goes against the word of God. But something, oh, well, unless you are. If I got to ask at that time whether you should be for this or switch it off. Because there's not always somebody at the other end of the phone. There's not always somebody next to you. John is advocating this. You have the Holy Spirit, and he can teach you. And he can be our guide. And he can be our light. So that when there's nobody else to ask, you can speak to him. I want to encourage us as a body of believers, get used to living in fellowship with Jesus Christ through his Holy Spirit. He's your teacher. He's your ultimate teacher. Teachers within the body, we've got our weaknesses, we've got our faults, our words are not infallible, we're doing our best. But there's one voice that you carry within. So if you're watching something and you're just not sure, it's maybe the Holy Spirit within you saying, Your pastor's not here, your leader's not here, but I'm in the room. I'm not going to watch this. And you really, your heart starts pounding, what just now? It seems to be good. And you have received an anointing through the Holy Spirit, the person, the Godhead, the Holy Spirit, not the flaky spirit, not the weird spirit, not the cold spirit, not the worldly spirit, the Holy Spirit within you that will teach you all things. And so if an Antichrist pops up, you will ken, no, this is Neo Jesus. This is Neo Ham, and I can't even explain why I didn't like this. Because it looks good, and they're saying the right stuff, but there's a discernment within me that just says no. And that is enough for me to say, I can, it looks good. I can, it looks like ministry. I can, they're helping people. But I've just got to say no. Through the Holy Spirit. And so we hinna be Antichrist focused. We have to remain faithful for what we heard at the beginning, but mark your life Jesus focused, Holy Spirit focused. That's how to safeguard you for the spirit of the Antichrist. And John is writing this as a father. Aren't you glad for your Bible? That you can glean for wisdom like people like John that walked with Jesus, that spoke to Jesus, that was there at the crucifixion, there at the resurrection, seeing the Holy Spirit come down, founder, apostle, father of the church, went through some stuff, and yet he gets to pen something that I get to read, and I just think, you have really helped me today. Are you not grateful for that? What an opportunity we have. I would love to sit with some people of the world and glean for their experiences, yet we have got spiritual dynamite within us, and it sits in hotel rooms, and some people read it, some people dinner, it's an oil rig, some people read it, some people dinner, it's freely available for us, some people read it, some people dinner, but I just read it and think, you have really helped me, John. Because we come up some stuff in this world, and you have taught me. We're not even into chapter 3. You've taught my friends to be a Christian, to live in fellowship with each other, that God is light in him. There's no darkness. You've spoken to me like I'm your child. You've taught me that spirit of the world that we've got to come against. And here you are teaching men how to deal with the Antichrist, but not be Antichrist focused, but to be Jesus focused. And sometimes if you just, before you leave here, if this is just a gentle reminder, I don't want Nini is to be deceived, would be the right word. It's a deception for this angel of darkness that's going to masquerade as light. And maybe this is not a word for now. Far Cain's, it's better to get a warning before something happens. Like you get your signs on the road. Then I go down there, the bridge is broken. I think that's a good sign, if the bridge is broken. Backends, it's a worse thing to deal with is you're going across the bridge that falls beneath your feet. So maybe this isn't just for the now, but maybe in 5 years, maybe in 10 years, maybe next month, somebody will rise up for the earth. And you, hold on a minute. We spoke about that. And we'll be all right. Okay, not too sure how to finish this sermon. I'm going to just bring it to a close very gently. Verse 28. Now, dear children, remain in fellowship with Christ so that when he returns, because he will return, we will be full of courage and not shrink back from him in shame. What a feeling for people that remain in him when he comes back. Christ the Messiah, the Holy One, there's got to be people that when he comes will go towards him full of courage. And John says, you will do that if you remain in him, be faithful to what you heard at the beginning, get to know the Holy Spirit, he will lead you, he will guide you. And if you do that, doesn't matter when Christ comes back, he is coming back, this is the last hour, when he comes back, you can go forward in courage. And not as others who will shrink back in shame at his return. Now, what type of Christian do you want to be? What type of person do you want to be on that day? But I just imagine Christ coming back, and I can't be full of courage because he's so holy, so pure. But John says, you can be full of courage if you know the one instead of the one that's coming back. And he can come back and say, I was just speaking to him this morning. I was speaking to Jesus this morning. I know him. And the bride will be caught up with the groom. I pray for us fellowship. Whatever we do, whether we become successful in ministry, with our websites and our stuff is bang on, whether we grow and see revival that we want to see and we should want to see, but that we, as a body of believers, then I go off to the left or to the right, remain faithful to what we heard at the beginning, stay in tune with the Holy Spirit, remain in him as he remains in you, because a day is coming and a twinkling on an eye, he'll come like a thief in the night. I pray that each one of us and our friends and our family and our moms and dads, our sons and our daughters together, when he comes back, we'll go forward in courage to meet our Savior. Let's stand and pray. We've not taken up our offerings yet. We'll take up our tithes and offerings and ask the worship team to come up. Thank you for the grace just to give you the truth. Sometimes you come and you get spiritual milk, which you need for a good diet. That spiritual milk looks like God loves you unconditionally. His grace is sufficient. But sometimes you kind of get milk every week. If you get milk every week, you'll become a spiritual milk addict. And sometimes, there's a few years that are already planning because it's 10 past 12. Some years already planning for meat you're going to hear. And some years are already planning for fast selling carvery this week. Get that gammon, get that meat, get that steak. And you'd be very disappointed if you went to the barn car and says, today the carvery is milk. What? And sometimes we come to church and you've got to, sometimes there's milk and sometimes there's meat. And you go chewing the meat and drink the milk. But let's be glad that we came. And so Jesus, this is the last hour, the last moments, the last seconds of this age. And yet there's an age to come that is simply called eternity. And it's not called an hour or a moment. You simply call eternity, for there's not a day after that. And so, Jesus, while we are in this last hour, we realize that things come against us personally. And there's things in our life and weaknesses in our life that we so easily attach ourselves to other things. the spirit of the world, the spirit of the Antichrist. But God, we take this moment, may it concentrate on them. But help us to be Christ dwellers. Your give us the strength and the grace to remain in fellowship with you. That is our prayer. As we are aware that you are coming back, let us live our lives daily knowing that you could return at any time. And let's hold fast, if it was taught at the beginning, let's hold fast to what we was taught through the word of God, through the preaching of Jesus, and through the word of the apostles and prophets. Let's hold fast to these things, that you are Savior, you are God, that you died on that cross for us, that Jesus, you are enough. And protect us from veering off to different tangents in our life. And there's a lot of good teaching out there as well, Jesus. And we pray that the indwelling Holy Spirit will teach us what is truth and what is lies. I pray for us as a fellowship, if when you return, you will see that we have just did our best with what we have gotten, and you have given us so much, that we will step forward on that day in courage, welcoming our groom. And as that trumpet sounds, it will be a celebration, and help us not shrink back in shame, and help us to take others with us on that day. Cover us in the blood of Jesus. If one thing that has been spoken here this morning is on me, just let Father ground, but that has been spoken through the Holy Spirit, may it take root and develop fruit within our lives. As we stand here in worship, I ask for just an envelope of your presence around us, in Jesus' name, amen. Let's worship his holy name. We've got to take up our offerings. If you haven't come prepared to give, that's perfectly okay. But let's take this opportunity to give glory to Jesus.